we are so excited to launch the Woman Run podcast. Right Lindsay Jennings started Woman Run in 2019 to help build community and to share the stories of those who inspire us. Over the years, we've highlighted women who start businesses, women who lead businesses, and women who help others grow through mentorship and collaboration. We believe that building community through shared experiences helps everyone thrive. A rising tide lifts all boats, and we want to be part of that tide of change. With the Woman Run podcast, we want to meet you where you are and provide the resources and motivation that you can access when your schedule allows. We hope you enjoy this new format, and we look forward to hearing from you about speaker ideas and about how Woman Run can continue to cultivate this community. I'm Ricky Smith, Public Relations and Marketing Director at Right Lindsay Jennings, and your host for today. Joining me is Mandy Richardson, publisher of Little Rock Soiree magazine, and also the founder of the Women's Leadership Symposium and Summits. We're going to hear Mandy's insights from a career in the deadline-driven publishing and event world, particularly working on publications geared to women, about how she approaches life and how it contributes to her success. So, hello, Mandy. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
of course.
I'm excited.
We're going to just jump right in. All right. What do you think people would be surprised to learn about you?
That I like wearing black? No, I'm just kidding.
Huge shock.
Yeah, I know. Right? I would say that I really don't enjoy the spotlight. Like, I don't mind being here and love being able to represent the products that we're working on, but like being front and center is not something that I personally crave. So I do it out of necessity for the job.
I understand. Same for me, really. Yeah. I think that's something we might have in common.
Absolutely.
Telling other people's stories a little bit more than our own. So, what do you think people might misunderstand about you?
I would say the biggest misconception about what I actually do is probably what people don't understand the most. So I get called the editor a lot of Soiree, and that is not offensive to me at all. It should be offensive to my editor, who is an amazing writer and editor. And so I think a lot of times just explaining that my role as publisher is really nothing to do with the words, but really serving as basically a business owner over the products that I run. And so I manage the P&L and am responsible for the overall vision of the magazine or the event. But it's really more of a business position and a sales position and forward facing. So I love that people call me the editor. I wish that I had that skill, but I do not. So.
Well, you do some of the writing.
Yeah, very little, but nothing goes out that Jess hasn't put her finger
Understood.
On. So.
Yeah. Understood. Everyone has their gifts.
Yes, yes.
So who do you talk to in work or life when you feel stuck?
I think I have a couple people. I mean, I'm fortunate to have a really great best friend who is a professional and in the marketing arena. And so there are just a lot of times that I can go to her and we can, you know, girl talk, but also like talk through things professionally. I have a great husband who is just very, very, very truthful. Sometimes that's hard to hear.
Yeah, sometimes that's good. Sometimes
but
not.
I always know I'm going to get shot straight with him. So he's great for me to bounce things off of. But in my professional life, day in and day out, I would say, you know, Mitch is the owner of Arkansas Business Publishing Group, is just a really great sounding board and always good for a good problem solving session. So he's great for me to go to if we're feeling like, ugh, what do I do here? What am I supposed to do? So I definitely have some great women in my life who help guide those conversations. My mom's always a quick speed dial away, of course.
And, of course.
But yeah, a good mix of men and women in my life who I'm able to bounce some things off of when I'm feeling stuck, for sure.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
And I imagine you and Mitch work together a lot. As you were mentioning, you're sort of in an operational role over all of the different products.
And yeah. I mean, we're a small business, right? So 75 some employees between Arkansas and Texas main offices and then remote employees around. But yeah, we really have a tight executive group within the organization that I am a part of. And Mitch and I spend a fair amount of time in meetings together, and whether that be talking soiree or women's leadership, or I do have this operations hat that I wear for the company. He's certainly a great resource and leader and guides me through a lot of situations. So yeah. Grateful for him.
Good. That's nice. I'm grateful for him, too. Yeah. I enjoy working with him as well.
He is great to work with. Great company to be a part of, for sure.
So what about your professional journey? What brought you to Soiree? How did you get here?
Oh, I don't know that we have time for the full story here. But so I have an interesting path. This is not what I went to school for. It's not necessarily what I thought I would be doing. I do have an undergrad and a graduate degree in communications, but never saw myself as part of the media, really thought that mm-hmm. I was going to school to be a college professor or work
I
more
could
on...
I could see that.
Could you? Well,
could.
Maybe my 17th career will be... my retirement career will be at a college or something. But I was actually working in student loans. And in 2008, the federal program that student loans were ran through actually was shut down. And so countrywide, you saw hundreds of people across the country looking for positions. The group that I was working for didn't have brick and mortar in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so I lost my job. And I was really just kind of looking for what that next step would be. And one of my friends, I actually think it was my sister-in-law. I can't really remember for sure, but I think it was my sister-in-law said, I know some people who work for this company called Arkansas Business Publishing Group. You should, I don't know, I don't even know what they do, but you should go check them out. I feel like they do something creative and you're creative, and so why don't you check it out? So that was probably some sort of like dial-up internet connection to go see what Arkansas Business Publishing Group was at that point in time. And interviewed for a sales position. And so that's actually how I started with the company in 2008, was selling for our annual consumer products, and then left. I'm a boomeranger is what mm-hmm. we call them mm-hmm. in our office. So I've left and come back. This is actually my third stint with the company, but joined the Soiree team at the end of 2009 and have just grown with the division mm-hmm. Over the years. So did sales and then assistant sales manager, assistant publisher, and then in 2014 took over as publisher of the magazine and haven't looked back since.
Yeah. So. Wow. What is that? 11 years?
Too many. I don't know. Collectively, it's like my HR manager hates me when it's my anniversary because I'm like, but what's my real anniversary?
But what about those other times?
Yeah.
That's funny. So were you living in Arkansas when you...
Yeah, great question.
Lost the student loan?
Yeah, so I grew up in Missouri and was working in St. Louis after college at Edward Jones. And there was this cute boy from Stuttgart, Arkansas that caught my eye.
That's how we all end up here.
Oh, I tell you what, darn cute it, boys. That southern accent, it's too much. So Kevin and I started dating in St. Louis, and then his plan all along was to move back down here and take over an office with Jones. And so he moved down. We dated long distance for like a year and a half, mm-hmm. and then we got married in 2004. I moved down. So yeah, I was living in Arkansas. We actually lived in Whitehall because he was working for Simmons at that point in time.
Okay.
And so... I was driving back and forth between Whitehall and Little Rock, and then we moved up here shortly after I mm-hmm. got the position. But I was here in Arkansas. Love Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So glad I'm here. Been here for 20 years now, so this is home now.
Yep, absolutely. Me too. So do you think that media in particular is a difficult job for women? Are there more women now throughout your years? How has that changed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think women in media have played a real interesting role. I mean, you saw women step up during war times, and mm-hmm. so that really became a launching pad for a lot of women. Obviously, that's years and years, long time ago, decades ago. I think it's been a great industry for women. Mm-hmm. I have an almost primarily female staff, mm-hmm. so not necessarily by purpose, it's just happened that way. I feel like media is really reliant on relationships, mm-hmm. and there's some thoughtfulness that comes into play with making sure that you're executing at the right level and with the right tone. And mm-hmm. I think that lends itself well to any person who can do those things well. But I think those are natural skills that women mm-hmm. often have. I have a really unique experience in the sense that ABPG was founded by a woman. So yeah. I came into this very welcoming, very supportive business that really was built to help support women in media. So everything from a playroom at our office if the kids are sick or need mm-hmm. to be there after school to, you know, an open dialogue about how do we do the job, and even before the pandemic was able to work from home if I needed mm-hmm. to. And so we've really found ways to be able to support our employees, but I think that those things have really been helpful as a woman, and then mm-hmm. a wife, and then a mother, and mm-hmm. mm-hmm. who's also trying to run a business. So yeah. I think media is not an easy position to be a part of. A lot of responsibility lays on our shoulders. I have the great pleasure of working for Soiree and really driving home a mission, and we aren't reporting hard news. We're sharing like all of the great things, as you know, right. that are happening in Little Rock. And so that feel good nature is a great safe place to be and, mm-hmm. and grow our teams. But for me, I definitely recognize that I probably came in ahead of the game, having started working for a company that was already owned by a woman mm-hmm. who was really in tune to that. And certainly when Mitch bought the company, that culture has continued on mm-hmm. for sure. And so it's a great environment for anyone, I think, mm-hmm. but especially for women. So
that's great. So how long did you work with, was it Olivia?
So Olivia started the company in the 1986, I believe, was the exact year. I may have mm-hmm. that wrong. Soiree launched in the early 2000s. And so she was there, of course, when I came on in 2008, and was just an amazing person to be able to really learn from, and one of the best salespeople I've ever seen. And so that was great to be able to learn from her and understand her business sense. And then I'm going to get these years all sorts of wrong,
okay.
I'm sure. I think Mitch came on with the company in like the 2012-13 period, bought the company several years later. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I had a really great stint yeah. of being able to work alongside Olivia and underneath her, and gained some really great knowledge from yeah. her through the years, which was wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, I know we've talked about you being, you know, a boomerang a little bit, and yeah. we've touched on this already, but it sounds like APPG has a great culture. Is there anything else in your mind that lends itself to a great company culture?
Yeah, I would say that is one of the things that has made that company really special through the years, is just this really intentional focus on the culture that we're building. And so, you know, really great programs like a tweak committee, and anybody that's worked at ABPG knows what tweak is, and you hear that outside of the office often when we talk to former employees. That's focused on just like creating a fun thing for our teams to do mm-hmm. every year mm-hmm. or every month, once a year. We only let people have fun
once a year. That's it. It's a great culture.
It's a great culture. Come work for us once a month. And so, you know, on top of really just looking at how do we take care of our employees, what are we doing to support them? How do we build out the right working environment for them? We're a deadline-driven company, mm-hmm. so that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the people to be executing mm-hmm. at the level that they need to be executing and on time. So where can people do their jobs, and how do they do those well in whatever environment that they're in? And then I think, too, like really we focus hard on our mission. So what's our purpose, and are we living that purpose mm-hmm. every day? But then also benefits, right? Mm-hmm. Benefits are part of the culture that you're building right now. And always, it's been really important for us to have a a really strong financial education component mm-hmm. to what we're doing. And so Mitch and Olivia have always said we want retired you to be as happy as working you, if not happier. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we spend a lot of resources and energy and time in helping try to educate our employees on how to be contributing to their 401k mm-hmm. and how to set up a savings account and things like that. So I love this like environment that we've created mm-hmm. of, I feel like it's a safe place. I feel like leadership has always really been focused on making sure that the employee's taken care of from all aspects. And that feels good. That mm-hmm. feels fun. I mean, we're creating something really fun and beautiful at Soiree, and we're creating this really valuable resource at Arkansas Business through their weekly business journal to all of the amazing like annual publications we do. Mm-hmm. So just naturally there's going to be a fun like aspect to what we're mm-hmm. doing and a creative outlet for people to have. So that in and of itself, I think, gives us a little up on mm-hmm. Some other industries that exist in the world. But it's amazing, I think. I think that's why a lot of people stay, right? Mm-hmm. It's just this like sense that it's a great place to work and the people there are great. And I think we're quick to figure out if somebody's not a good fit, you know? And so when you mm-hmm. have a strong culture like that, I think you're able to make those decisions a little faster on like, this person's great, but maybe not the right fit for us. Right. And that really does impact things. And so I think being attuned to those has been super helpful in us being successful. But mm-hmm. I love our company culture.
Yeah.
If you want to come see what it's like, come get a tour.
I'll have to do that. Yeah. I feel like I'm there enough.
All
maybe
the time.
I should just go ahead and do a formal tour.
That's right. We should. It'd be fun.
What inspired you or led you all to launch the Leadership Symposium and the Summit?
That's a great question. So this will be our 7th year to have the Women's Leadership Symposium.
And it's just a couple of weeks away.
I know. Great.
I'm sorry to mention that.
No, it's okay. So we launched that in Little Rock, of course, with the Soiree product first. And that really came out of a couple different conversations. We were coming off the Me Too movement, so I think there was just a lot of chatter around women in business that hadn't existed previously. But really for us, it was more so of looking around and recognizing that a lot of that training wasn't necessarily happening at that level here in Arkansas. There were a lot of things that were available if you were in a particular field. So the Legal Association has a lot of resources, I think, and opportunities. Mm-hmm. Same for bankers through associations mm-hmm. and whatnot. But for a general employee, a general woman in business, or a small business owner really just looking for some leadership opportunities, we weren't finding a lot of that here in Arkansas. And so then you're going out of state and, you know, it's expensive to travel. It was expensive to travel 7 years ago. It's really expensive mm-hmm. to travel now. Mm-hmm. So you were easily looking at a grand, if not more, if you were sending someone or trying to pay for yourself to go out of state to attend some sort of leadership conference. And so we thought, like, we've got all these amazing outlets to be able to promote this. We've got access to community leaders, and we know who are in a lot of those mm-hmm. positions who would make great speakers. Let's figure out how to do this. And so I was really looking for my next challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I may be a little, to be honest with you, I may be a little ADD in my business sense. So I like to solve a problem and then move on to the next thing. And so I had been with Soiree for a minute then and was really looking for what that next thing would be. And so I do love this about our company. I think a lot of the people that you see in leadership roles in the company have stepped up at some point in their career and said, hey, I really have an interest in doing X, Y, or Z. And if it's a feasible business plan, mm-hmm. we're willing to get behind mm-hmm. that. And so really put together this idea of let's build the symposium, started going out to some other conferences around the country mm-hmm. and looking at what was happening there, and came back and presented a business plan to Mitch. And then all of a sudden it was in the budget, and that meant I had to do it and figure out how to do it. So I think it's been amazing to see the growth that we've had. We've been able to move those into some regional events, which mm-hmm. you guys have been a great sponsor of, as in addition to Little Rock. And so really looking for where the areas in the state that we can go to mm-hmm. instead of them having to come to us and create this content has been really exciting to see. And then we have this event in Fort Worth as well. We've done that for the past 4 years. We're making a few tweaks there. But it was really just this like, hey, I think this is a need we have in mm-hmm. the state, and let's see if we can do this. And, mm-hmm. and we did it. Yeah. So
it's interesting, the timing of that is yeah. sort of similar to when we started Woman Run, maybe just a couple years after you all, because we found we had the same experience. You know, no one really, there were very industry-specific focused groups
yeah.
for support and resources and things, but nowhere really to go just to have a safe space and a conversation about yeah. things that might be unique to women in any kind of business. So
yeah, and I think it's been really fun to see like our partnership and like mm-hmm. so many, I mean, it's not a competitive space, right? Like I think the cool thing is we're all looking for how do we support a need that's mm-hmm. out there, whatever that might be, and how do we do that together? And so, mm-hmm. You know, just we would support your all's
yeah.
events and of course this podcast now,
yeah, exactly.
But then vice versa, y'all in supporting our events. And I think that's really where as a state we're going to get ahead is mm. by collaboration and looking yeah. for ways that we can support each other that way. And just being nimble and able to adjust to the needs.
Yeah. yeah. And I think that collaboration is such a big piece of that. You know, we really never wanted with Woman Run to be the only one doing it. You know,
right.
we wanted to build those partnerships and build the resource pool wider regionally and, yeah. you know, geographically and industry-wide. And so I think it's really, I think we've done a good job.
I agree. Keep building those networks.
That's right. And that's what we're doing here today.
That's right.
So what, how would you describe your leadership style? You mentioned you have a mostly female team. So what does that look like?
You know, I think that that's changed. So I think I probably started off as a manager that thought the way I was doing it was the best way to do it. And as most managers who lead that way realize real quickly, that's not the best way to lead.
Right.
So I do feel like I really try to put a lot of trust in the people that I'm working with. I want people to feel like they've got some autonomy over the position that they're in. I think that's something you see within our company as well. That's a guiding principle for what we're looking for. Really trying to find ways to let the individuals on my team master the skills that they're working on. And so, you know, part of my job is really to be creating this vision or letting people know, you know, what we're chasing after and where we're trying to go, and then giving them the tools to be able to succeed and mm-hmm. sometimes fail, and how do we do that differently going forward. But really just, you know, at the end of the day, recognizing the fact that everybody on my team is here because they want to be here and I want them here, and let's make this happen. And again, like, we do have this beautiful product that is telling an amazing story of all the great things that are happening in Little Rock on a monthly basis or daily, what exciting things are happening in the city through mm-hmm. our e-newsletter, or mm-hmm. what women are doing great things here in the state through our events. And so, you know, that's an exciting place to be, but I just have some go-getters that really make my life a little easier mm-hmm. too. So my job is really just to support them, but I think it's important as a leader to listen to your people, to be tuned in to what's going on with their lives, and find ways to support them in the best way possible to get the job done. And recognizing that there's not one set path. Mm-hmm. That's sometimes hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have deadlines to meet. You got to get there. But if we're all working hard to get to the right place, then that's really where I want to be. So I do try to take a little bit more laid back approach to leadership, I think. And And then also try to set that bar myself of like, if I'm, there's nothing I'm going to ask you to do that I wouldn't do myself. I may not know how to do it well, but I'm right there alongside my team oftentimes trying to get the job done. And I think that that's a good leadership quality to have.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy working with your team very much.
Yay. So. Good. Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
They're doing a great job.
So you mentioned deadlines, and I always think it's interesting because I feel like very few people understand like a monthly publication. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How far in advance are you working? I mean, are you working on July now?
Great question.
You know, what does that look like?
I can't seem to say this enough. So if anyone hears this and wants to make this a PSA, like we work about 6 months in advance from a print standpoint. So Jess, my editor, and I are meeting weekly, and our job weekly is just to be able to share with each other what we've been pitched or what we've seen, what story ideas we have. But with print, you just have to work far in advance. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we are setting stories at least 6 months in advance. I have things on the book already for 2026, which seems really scary to say. I always laugh that I panic about Christmas shopping in like August because I'm already talking December and I'm like, oh, wait, oh, I really have time. So it's a, there's a rhythm to it for sure. I mean, every 4 weeks you're kind of repeating whatever that cycle is. So sales is working 2 months in advance and the ad team is working a month in advance and our editorial team is somewhere in between there and production. So it's a pretty wild cycle, but for anyone who's wanting to pitch us stories, we need to hear those stories 6 months before you think that they're going to be in print. And then we've got this wonderful e-newsletter, and so that really gives us a way to be able to pivot on a much quicker basis. Mm-hmm. And so Jess and her team are, you know, if they get a press release for something on Thursday, you may see that in the e-newsletter on Friday, but that would never be able to happen in the print world. And then women's leadership takes on a whole new process because you're looking at booking speakers, and for the soiree event in each May we're bringing in, you know, a professional speaker, and so that's got a cadence to it. And so yeah, there are a lot of production schedules to be able to manage, and we have a brilliant production manager who really is looking at that and how everything overlays, because we also share a lot of services in our building. So Emma, who designs for us, also designs for other publications within the building, and our ad coordination team is coordinating ads for all of the products across the company, and so a lot of shared services, which makes making sure that we're not crushing people on a regular basis is a really masterful skill that our production manager has, but that takes a little bit to get used to, and then also to like stay motivated and like excited about, because there's kind of that that happens with the monthly magazine. But so fresh story ideas are always welcomed.
Good to know. Six months in advance.
And 6 months in advance, please.
So what would you say you enjoy the most and maybe the least also about what you do?
That's a great question. The most, I think that I get to really live out of both sides of my brain. So there are days that I'm really living in spreadsheets, looking at the financials, trying to move the levers to get our margin where we need it to be, you know, looking at where sales are and where we need to be and what we need to do to get to a certain number. And so there are a lot of numbers. And then the next day I may be on set with my team and Jason Masters' studio working on, you know, this really creative concept for our next issue. And so I really like that balance of being able to be a little bit of right brain and left brain on a regular basis. What I like the least, aside from just the stress, you know, I'm, at the end of the day, I am running a business here. I would say is probably just like not being able to say yes to everything, honestly. I would love to cover every single pitch that is sent to us and be at every party or fundraiser for every nonprofit in town. Mm-hmm. And I have limited resources and limited people. And so I think that like can kind of get a little burdensome when you're just trying to share the good, that you can't share all the good all the time. So that's the least part. But I mean, man, if that's what I hate least, that's not a bad gig, right?
Yeah, you're doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. So too.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, who you talk to when you feel stuck. I wonder, are those the same people that you would consider like your most important mentor? Mm. Or is that a separate person
that's
or
a good
people?
Question. So it's funny, I would say my mentors have shifted throughout my life, mm-hmm. especially because I've changed industries, and so you just see some natural shifts from that. I've always looked to Olivia and still have lunches with Olivia a couple times a year to get her opinion on things. Of course, Mitch and Rachel on our team, who's another publisher mm-hmm. and has been in the industry for a long time, I look to them for a lot of like very ABPG-specific things. But I would say when it comes to like my career path or bigger pictures, those people have changed as well. And so a couple women that I feel really safe like running ideas by, or I'm thinking about this, what do you guys think? Mm-hmm. Or is this something I could do? Do you think, I don't think I can do this. Do you think I can, mm-hmm. you know, and they're honest with me from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. I love that. Jo Beth McElhan and someone who I've had a really fun professional career with. So mm-hmm. on one of my stints of leaving for ABPG, I went to work for Jo Beth and we worked for a nonprofit together and really enjoyed working with her, enjoyed her kind of career path as well. And she's been a really great sounding board for me through the years. Jo Beth now owns a event production mm-hmm. company and plans events for nonprofits and weddings and creates beautiful things for people. And mm-hmm. so I love this like idea that she's really found her niche and realized what she's great at and taken all of those skill sets from all of her previous positions mm-hmm. and built this company, and enjoy being able to like bounce some ideas off of her every now and then. But probably, you know, my parents have been my greatest mentors. Like, I'm lucky to have two amazing parents that I can go to ask questions of. And my mom has been a working mom for years, and so she's a good resource for me. And my sister, man, my sister is a rock star. She's up in Chicago killing it in life, and she's my little sister, but she should be my big sister. So.
What does she do?
She has had a few different career paths as well, but she is a rock star trainer. Right now she's working for a company that's called Graymont Medical. And so the thing I love about Kara, she's just wicked smart. And so she's gone in and like learned totally new positions. So now she runs their HR division and like
wow.
knows how to do payroll and like all of the things that wow. come with that. And so she's worn many hats, but yeah. she's awesome. So
sounds
she's
like
a good inspiration for me.
Might share the left brain, right brain.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
For sure. You might both enjoy that a little bit.
So I just love this idea that, you know, we live in this world where I think we can be more vulnerable with each other and like open to exploring things. And I really find maybe even not in individual people, but just like inspiration around everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we live in a really cool state that has some amazing things going on. And mm-hmm. so being able to like just watch people's paths and learn yeah. from them and see where they've found success, I think has been really cool. And probably been pretty fortunate to be able to talk to some people in the state that a lot of people don't have access to through my position, and always try to take advantage of those conversations. So mm-hmm. Whether that be, you know, when we got to photograph John L. Hunt, or you know, we had Charlotte from the Cowboys, Charlotte Jones from the Cowboys on a cover one issue. And, you know, again, like, these are women that I don't know that I would have had access to had I not been in my career. Yeah. And so those have been pretty awesome opportunities to, I'm not going to call them mentors per se, right. find some inspiration. They're like, Mandy who?
Right. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. You do have a unique seat.
Yeah,
though,
for
to
sure.
To a lot of opportunities.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's awesome.
It is.
That's very neat. So, you know, you mentioned deadlines being 6 months out, that sort of thing, because, you know, I hope that some of our audience will be some of our entrepreneur friends, people who are starting and running businesses. What recommendations or advice do you have for them in terms of building maybe a relationship with the media for PR purposes or advertising or any of that?
Yeah. Man, the entrepreneurs, what a great group of people. It's like a risk I cannot take. I enjoy working for somebody else. I like being able to do my own thing within a company, but I am envious of whatever entrepreneurs have in them that I don't have. I think it's pretty cool. So my advice to them for building relationships with the media would really be know the audience that you're talking to. So I could tell you very clearly who the soiree reader is if you asked me who that person was, or describe to me who's attending a women's leadership event. I could tell you very specifically who that person is. I think people have to flip that when they're thinking about how they talk to the media. And so what Soiree is looking for and what Arkansas Bride is looking for and what Arkansas Business is looking for are all three very different things, but we all may have interest in the same story. So I'll take a restaurant per se. Arkansas Business wants to know who's financing the deal, who owns it, you know, what's that look like, what's the impact going to be, where are they going in the community. Soiree is going to want to know what the menu is, and is there like something cool happening on a regular basis to entertain people. Arkansas Bride would want to know about that same restaurant, but if they're catering for events or if they have a space available. And so I think really thinking thoroughly about who you're talking to. I know that we need to get big press releases out and get the information out to the masses, but I really think those people that can come in with a really thoughtful pitch based on who each of our publications is reaching is going to have a lot more success in getting their messaging in front of whatever audiences that you're pitching. And so my advice would be like really understand who you're talking to and then think through that angle of what you might be talking to the media for. Mm-hmm. 6 months in advance. No, I'm just kidding. Not 6 months in advance for all of that.
And what about for the symposiums and the summits, if they were interested in being on a panel or having a booth?
I would say, you know, if you haven't been to the event, come to one of the events, whether that's Little Rock or Jonesboro or Fort Smith, just so that you really can see, like, as a participant, what's going on. But we're open. I mean, I'm looking for speakers year round. And so if you are interested in being a part of a panel or you've got an idea for a session, I ask people all the time, like, what are your challenges in the workplace right now? Or what are you personally challenged with? Because I think that's super insightful for me to help build the curriculum for the events. And so I'm always open to someone pitching themselves or someone else that they've heard speak. Love that. So
good. Well, hopefully that is helpful information for someone.
Please bring it on.
So let's jump back a little bit into some more personal questions.
Okay.
That's super personal.
No, that's fine. We can get personal.
What is your morning routine?
I hate mornings, so that's a challenge. Like hit the alarm 12 times. I have a 14-year-old and 11-year-old, so we are in the mix of like getting up, getting ready for school. And so I am working with the kids on like, are you up? Our lunch is packed. What's going on? Mm-hmm. I'm really trying to do some work on myself, which has been something that I got away from for a long time. And so I'm trying to ground, and which means like going outside barefoot, letting your feet touch the grass, getting some early morning light on my face as a way to just help me. There's some good, it's a little woo-woo, but some good benefits to reconnecting with the earth, I think, and getting your body moving in that direction. So I always try to take a few minutes to do that, and it really might only be a few seconds, but it helps every now and then. So mornings are chaotic at our house. We are, if I'm hitting that alarm or snooze a few times, then getting up and making sure the girls are on their way and then getting out the door myself. I've been trying very purposely not to check my phone first thing in the morning, which I think is a habit many of us have gotten into. And so I do try to check that at the end of the night, like what do I have going on the next day so I wake up and know what's first on the schedule. But first and foremost, getting my kids out the door and then and then myself.
Understood. So what about your favorite productivity hack?
I am a list person, so I use the we use the Google Business platform at work, and so I use the Task app a lot, just to, like, you know, when you've got a team, I say all the time, like, I get nothing done during the day because I'm just answering questions or in meetings. So then I just, like, constantly putting tasks on that list. But I love that I can, like, check that off and they go down to a list and eventually I can delete them or take a look at that. But I like that Task app, and it shows up in my sidebar of my email. And then it's also an app on my phone. And so that's good for me to be able to keep up with everything. And then I live and die by my calendar. So I calendar a lot of to-dos. So you may, if you looked at my calendar, you'd probably have a small anxiety attack for me. And maybe you should. But a lot of it is just like follow up or to do this or work on this.
So is this electronic calendar? Do you have a paper calendar also?
I don't do a paper calendar anymore. I'm 100% electronic. But everything lives in one place. So business and personal are all mixed together.
Yeah. Well, that leads very nicely into my next question that I was thinking about. I don't know how you feel about the term balance, work-life balance. So I guess I will say, how do you manage or balance, you know, having growing kids who are very active and your own busy career?
I think it's
family.
Kids or no kids, right? Yeah. Like life is a struggle, right? I don't know if there's a balance. I would love to think that there is, but I'm not for sure that I've figured that out. I think I've really taken on a little bit more focus of being the concept of being present, like in whatever I do, and also realizing that we're not good multitaskers. People say I'm good at multitasking. No one's really good at multitasking. So really trying to start and finish a project when I'm working on it, focus on, like, putting the phone down if it's with the kids. I work a fair amount at night. If you see my email signature, I have a line on there about, like, my working hours are not your working hours, and please respond during your working hours, not with mine. Especially raising the kids when they were younger and incapable of doing things for themselves. A lot of my work got done at night after I put them to bed. And I'm a night owl, so I do a lot more work at night than you will see in the mornings. So I think just realizing that we're all trying to do the best that we can do, and you know, trying to make sure that I'm giving my family as much time as I give my work, and vice versa, and have a little bit of fun in there. No, I have a lot of fun, whatever I'm doing. But I don't know that there's balance. So managing, I'm just trying to tread water and stay there. As I'm sure everyone is, right?
I love that you mentioned your email signature, because I've actually shown it to people at the firm and different places, and be like, this is a great idea. Something like this is a great idea. So you don't have that, like, crushing pressure when you get an email of, like,
yeah, I think that's a real thing
right now, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want people to. And, like, that's a conversation I have with my team on a regular basis of, like, I expect you to be available between 8 and 5, right? Above and beyond that, if you choose to respond, that's fine. I really don't want you to, you know, I hope that we've created an environment that you don't have to do that, but they're all busy with lives and personal lives too. And we try to have that flexibility of really knowing, okay, you've got a job to do and you know when it's due. However you do that is up to you. But I do think that these phones, like, have created this environment where people feel like they have to be accessible 24/7, and it's just not mentally healthy for anybody. And so I thought that I did not create that statement. I wish I could be responsible for it. I borrowed it from somebody else, and I've heard a lot of people have incorporated that through the years, which has been fun. People being like, can I take that signature line? I'm like, I did not trademark it.
It's not mine.
You want. So
well, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, is it grounding? Is that what? Okay.
Yeah.
What are other things that you do to stay kind of, you know?
Well, I mean,
active,
there was, yeah,
fit,
there,
whatever.
Well, fit, I'm
in
not
touch.
Sure about something. There was a time in my life when I was fit. I think late 40s going into my 50s, I'm just trying to look at the next 20, 30, 40 years and like, how do we continue on and in a healthy way? There's a lot of chatter right now. I mean, I'm going into like menopause and hormones, and I'm here for it. I'm all for going and getting all the screenings I'm supposed to be getting, but also like really trying to step and work with people who are like really thinking about like the team I'm working with right now is really looking at my hormones and estrogen and progesterone, and are things balanced there, and how can we get more in sync with like, how did your great grandmother live? Like, if she ate it, then it's probably fine to eat. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say that, you know, I don't, no sweets, no processed foods. I'm working out 30 minutes every day. No, I'm not. I'm just doing my best here. But I am trying to be a little bit more mindful of those things, and have found just like the grounding thing is probably for me just a means of like taking a few minutes to just like stop and reset at the beginning of the end of the day. But there are a lot of theories behind this idea that like our bodies become in sync with the sun rising and the sun setting, and the importance of like those cues for your body and what that does, and cortisol conversations and stress, those things all impact women. And I just think we're here, like there's been a lot of medical information, but until recently there's not been a lot of medical information for women. And so really trying to walk that journey and figure things out, I think, as everybody else is. But I'm pretty open to anything that's free and somewhat healthy. Get my steps in.
Yeah. No, I love all these conversations around, you know, perimenopause, premenopause, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people used to talk about that.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's And I don't know that anybody has like the exact answer yet, right?
Right.
But I think this idea that life is different for women than it is for men when it comes to their health, and then life is different today because of the foods we eat and the things we breathe in and drink and whatever it is. And so, it's an interesting journey, I think, for everybody to be on, but I'm here for the information.
Yeah. And to share it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. We're talking about it now.
That's right.
And that's good.
That's right.
I mean, I know you guys have talked about it. You've had speakers, you know, at the summits and the symposiums. And
yeah, I mean, we've created a women's wellness panel that we didn't have. And that's been going on for a few years now, just for that conversation. Because as with male or female, like, your health, your personal life impacts your professional life. And so I think we've got to be having those conversations about how we take care of ourselves in both worlds.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So what inspires you? Travel?
I wish.
Favorite
I
food?
You know, I'll be honest. Like, I have two amazing girls, and just like trying to show them what fun life can be and how you like can take a hardworking but like exciting approach to life, I think. And you know, I probably tell them on a regular basis, do as I say, not as I do. But I really find a lot of inspiration in them, and just wanting them to be proud of me. Like, I love that they, when I get to hear Miller, my 14-year-old, came to the women's symposium a few years ago, and like now she's like, I want to go every year, and she takes notes, and it's the most precious thing I have seen. And so they inspire me a lot just to keep going. But then I think, like, working for this organization, I know I've said this multiple times while we've been talking, but like, my job is to make sure we're sharing the good in the community. I mean, that's pretty inspirational in and of itself, to make sure you're showing up and doing what you can every day, and doing the right thing to build our community. And so I really love that. So I can find inspiration just about anywhere.
Yeah, that's great.
Not failing.
Yeah.
That might be the main motivator.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we're so fortunate. I mean, for a state the size of Arkansas to have as many amazing things going on,
yeah,
you know, at any time and in the all the various communities and the stories, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
it's not something really I expected, honestly, when I moved here, you know, close to 20 years ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, me neither, for sure. It's been a pleasant surprise, mm-hmm. right? I say that all the time, like, just come and see it, because you'll be surprised. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then also, don't, because it's a right. nice little secret. So, speaking of inspiration, I did notice recently that you were honored at the Turning Point Gala with Ballet Arkansas.
Yeah.
What is that all
See
about?
Previous statement of Mandy doesn't enjoy the spotlight. No, that was awesome. So, this was actually pretty cool. We have had a long-standing relationship with several nonprofits in town, of course, but the ballet, since Catherine and Michael have come to town, I think have this really phenomenal story of what they've been able to do and how they've put that professional ballet troupe on the map. And we've been able to like share their story like we have so many. And so they asked to honor me and Jess at their gala a few weeks ago. And, you know, our natural inclination was like, no, absolutely not. This is not the Mandy and Jess show. But being able to represent Soiree and let them honor Soiree for the work that they think has been really important and helping them share their message was pretty awesome. So we were really grateful for that and thankful for that. And there was a wind machine on stage, so Jess and I were pretty pleased with a mic and a wind machine, to be honest with you. But no, that was awesome. It was really a great way to honor the magazine.
That's awesome. Yeah. And y'all. And your work there.
Yeah.
That's nice. And there was a wind machine.
Yeah.
What could you want? So what can people expect from you next?
Ah, good question. We're brewing up a few things. We actually just had a retreat a few weeks ago to like stop and think about what we want to do next. So without sharing too much, I would say very mission-focused projects, really looking at what we can do to support the nonprofits and maybe a few new events. So keep posted.
Yeah, sounds like stay tuned. All right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share with us today? This has been such a great chat.
No, it's been fun. Thank you so much. I'm just excited you guys have pivoted to this. I think it's really cool to see this next iteration of Women Run, and I can't wait to see who else is on here and hope I do you proud today. But keep up the good work. This is great. It's just really cool to see what you guys are doing and the throughout the state, I think. And thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you for making the time.
Yeah.
For joining us. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in for this episode of the Women Run podcast. I know Mandy's story is going to inspire our listeners and help them to grow in their own lives and careers. Be sure to follow Women Run on social media for announcements about upcoming podcast speakers and events. If you have ideas for speakers or want to be involved yourself, we would love to hear from you also. So thank you again, Mandy.
Thank you. All right.